If you encounter any issues at any point, you can click on that X and we will go ahead and troubleshoot with you. All right, on behalf of the Web Junction community, I'd like to welcome you all to today's session. We are able to bring this to you because of all of those that participate as partners and customers in the Web Junction community. So thanks to all of you who are a part of that. And we also do provide services to organizations. And if you are interested in finding out more about the solutions that are available to you for your staff training and development efforts, we encourage you to check out our events calendar and attend one of our first Wednesday presentations that goes into a little bit more detail about the resources that are available for you and serving your organization's needs. The next session is going to be on September 2nd, I believe, and we'll share that information with you later. All right, on to today's presenters. Today we are lucky to have with us Laura Tarango, who is the Children's Librarian at the Mission Branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Laura's family is originally from Chihuahua, Mexico, and she grew up speaking both English and Spanish at home. She attended the San Francisco State University as an undergrad and received her BA in sociology and her MLIS from the San Jose, all those Sans and Jose State University in 2004. And she has focused on children's librarianship throughout her career since then. The Mission Branch holds the largest Spanish language collection for children and is the only branch in the system that hosts bilingual story times for children and their families. She's also collaborated, we're true advocates of collaboration, with the school district, community organizations, and other agencies that provide services to children in her community. Valerie Wunder works as the Immigrant and Refugee Programs Manager at the Seattle Public Library. She organizes programs for immigrants and refugees of all ages. Before joining SPL in 2006, Valerie worked in refugee settlement with the International Rescue Committee. She also has an MLIS and Master's of Public Administration from the University of Washington. She has volunteered in libraries in South Africa, the Republic of Benin, Ethiopia, Kenya, Tanzania, and she began her library career as a trainer with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Welcome to both of you. And we're going to actually have Valerie lead us off here. So go ahead, Valerie, and we are looking forward to your presentation.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Great. Well, what I'm going to do is give you a little overview of our experience at Seattle Public Library of launching a system-wide world language story time program. So it's essentially a case study, which I think will lead nicely into Laura's description of her program, which will be a little more specific about the content, I believe. Let's see. So here's a little background. In the city of Seattle, we have about 110,000 immigrants, which is about 20% of our population. In our public schools, about a quarter of the students are enrolled in ESL classes. And the most frequently spoken languages in our public schools, other than English, are Spanish, then Vietnamese, then Chinese, and then Somali. Just as a comparison, so 20% of our population are born somewhere outside of the United States, but only in the city of Seattle, only about 15% of our population are under the age of 18 of any ethnicity. So that just tells you that we have a fairly large population of immigrants, but our library services that are focused on children and teens make up the bulk of our staff, whereas we have just a small staff that are dedicated to serving immigrants. So those library services, we're not new to serving immigrants and refugees. In fact, I've seen some information that indicates we've been doing it since the 1920s. But in 1995, we started doing our English language conversation circles that we call Talk Time. In the early part of this decade, we started working with our Friends of the Library to get funding to look at other systems and how they serve immigrants and refugees, create a task force, and do community assessments. So this was all sort of part of a grand plan to create a strategy for serving immigrants and refugees. When we moved into this new building, we established a literacy ESL and world language program, department. So there's actually a learning center, a sort of center for people to go to. And in 2006, we started really expanding our programming for immigrants and refugees. So that included things like story times, but also citizenship programming and looking at our festivals, things like that. Oh, and this is just a picture of our talk time circle. So as part of this strategy, we decided we needed to focus on families with small children. As I'm sure you all know, drawing adults into sort of life skills type programs that are for themselves can be a challenge for any adult. But people seem to respond to programming that's for their children. They know that libraries are a place of books and learning, and they want their children to go there. So we expanded things using cultural programs like Dia de los Niños. We celebrate Tet, Mid-Autumn Festival. We've been doing early literacy programming that's ramped up a lot here, including some that's focused specifically on the East African community. We do a lot to go out to school literacy nights and family festivals to promote our materials and services. And then we decided to launch this system-wide story time. Now, we've been doing bilingual story times on a sort of branch-by-branch basis. So if an individual librarian has the ability to speak two languages and is interested in offering that for her community or his community, they may offer it for their own branch. But this was an effort to get to do it system-wide. So this is a picture of Beatrice at the South Park branch. So we actually started off with Chinese story times, and I'll talk a little bit about why in a minute. So our goals were to engage the Chinese community, including existing users of the library, but in a new way, and new users of the library, to promote family literacy, which was a system-wide priority, to celebrate the cultures in our community, both for the Chinese speakers, but also for the larger community, and to link parents and youth with other library services and resources. So it wasn't enough just to bring people in for story time. We want to make sure that they know about what we have going on. So there were a variety of things that we had to consider with this. Who's going to lead these story times? Like I said, some of our staff are doing bilingual story times, but we don't have sufficient bilingual staffing to offer them in the way that we wanted to. Where are we going to locate them? We have 26 branches in our system, so we can't necessarily be offering these at all of them. We have to be strategic about it. How are we going to staff for story times? Going back to who will lead them, we decided to work with community members because our staff don't all have bilingual capabilities, but we still needed staff to be there, and with staffing constraints that we're dealing with right now, that can be a challenge. And then how will we get the word out, especially to new users? Bear with me. Okay, so what we ended up doing is, as part of our summer reading program, and this was in 2007, we included a pilot project to launch Chinese language story times. We recruited storytellers through community connections and also library connections. So we put the word out to the local library school. We knew that there were some Chinese students who might be interested. We put the word out to different community partners. We asked around. We asked parents who came into the library. And what we were looking for are people who have experience working with children and speak Chinese. So we wouldn't just take anybody, but so they had to, for example, we have somebody who led play and learn sessions at a local nonprofit called Chinese Information Service Center. We had a student librarian. We got somebody who was a support staff at another library who was interested in exploring story time. So it was people who had a real connection to libraries or serving children. We use a training that's actually up on the website, I believe. Is that right, Jennifer? I think I posted the training to the website that was created by King County Public Library originally and then adapted by our Chinese language librarian. And the Chinese language librarian led the training. She was really motivated, which was part of the reason why we started with Chinese. She also created box, sort of story times in a box to get the storytellers started so they'd have some resources to launch their initial pilot. We have a fairly good collection of Chinese language materials here at the Seattle Public Library, but it wasn't always, it wasn't necessarily sufficient. So we actually did some purchasing and put together these kits that the storytellers can then check out from our library. And the scheduling and gaining the buy-in at the library was also something that we confronted. When I first sent out an email to the librarian saying, oh, we're going to offer these Chinese story times using non-librarian storytellers, there was understandably some concern about quality and quality control moving forward. So we had to kind of work through those issues, and we've continued to bring the storytellers occasionally to, say, a children's librarian meeting or get the librarians who host the storytellers to give their testimonials, letting people know that they're really doing a fantastic job. So that helps with the buy-in. Scheduling has also been an issue because some of our families, their needs don't necessarily correspond to what our staffing levels, to when our staffing levels are most appropriate for offering story time. So trying to sort things out between the librarian, between the families, and between the storytellers has been a challenge. Oh, and next slide are some photos. So these are our Chinese language storytellers, Yiwen, Zhai, and Huichun. They for each of the story times, they do probably two or three books. They do rhymes. They do songs, just like any other story time, and they are really fabulous. I'm gonna address I see a lot of questions here that I haven't been looking at. One is the program entirely in Chinese or was it bilingual? That was something that we had to think about. How do we want this to be a bilingual program, or did we want it to specifically be in Chinese? We initially started them actually as Chinese only. And the reason for that is we found with the few programs that we do in branches, those occasional story times, that most of the attendees were not people from that community who are native speakers of Chinese or Vietnamese or Spanish, but were people who wanted their children to learn that language. So that wasn't necessarily a problem, but our goal was to serve Chinese speakers. So we decided we will do it in Chinese and encourage anyone to come who's interested, but the focus is to serve these people in their language and not to develop language skills. Does that help? As things have gone forward, we've done a mix. Depending on who's showing up, we've given the storyteller some license to adapt things to the needs of those who are there in the audience. Okay, so how do we get the word out? Well, we put together a Chinese flyer. We posted it in our branches, and it turned out that was the way a lot of people learned about it. We drew more people who were already library users than we did new users by far. We also mailed it to language schools in the area and to nonprofits. There's bilingual public school staff here in Seattle that we sent it all out to, and I continually do promotions with those staff. So they're bilingual instructional assistants, and they have a real connection with the families of their students. So I send things to them rather than the ESL teachers even, or in addition to, I should say, because they're so very connected to the family. We advertised in Chinese newspapers. We have developed through this some really great partnerships with the Chinese newspaper. They gave us greatly reduced ads and wrote up several articles about the program in exchange for being featured as a media sponsor. The storytellers themselves did a lot of promotions, which was fabulous. And then we also promote it through our summer reading flyers. So because this was a pilot, we did a pretty thorough evaluation of the program. We had all parents do surveys. The surveys were in English and Chinese. We did surveys of the librarians for every single session they hosted. And then we solicited unstructured feedback from the storytellers themselves. Then I also looked at the circulation data around children's Chinese materials. And what we found was that we saw a 25% increase in circulation of Chinese children's materials over the same period the year before, which was pretty exciting. 80% of the respondents did speak Chinese, and it was unanimous. Everybody enjoyed the program. It was reported that the quality was great. People really liked songs and activities. They liked stories too, but there were requests. The biggest suggestion people had was to have it be ongoing, to have it more often, to have it be a longer session. People just wanted more. And then it was interesting to see that the ages of the children varied greatly compared to our normal story times, from 0 up to 9. So our storytellers have reported back that they're having to navigate working with all different ages in one session. It was great to get that feedback because now we're able to, as we train new storytellers, prepare them for that. So since that time, after we did the evaluation, we continued with the Chinese story times, and they've been going on now every month at 4 different locations for 2 years. We've retained all 3 storytellers. One, the library student, has become a librarian. Doesn't work in our system, but maybe will eventually. Another has begun attending library school. And the third has started doing story times at King County Public Library as well, so is really sort of expanding this, making this part of her career. Let's see. After doing the Chinese language story times, it took us a while to launch Spanish and Vietnamese. Those just happened this year. But through this process, we've sort of streamlined our training and the way we communicate with our storytellers and our librarians. So right now, if we decide we need to train another batch of people, it'll be a much more efficient process. It took us about 6 months to train Vietnamese storytellers, and we only have one a month at this point, one program a month. Another success is that these story times, whereas they used to be, or they have up until right about now, been part of my work, and my work is, I'm a program manager, it's sort of a special program. They are now becoming part of what our children's librarian staff do. So I am surrendering the coordination of these programs. They're really becoming entrenched in our regular normal operations and normal programming. Okay. That is it. Shall I?
That is outstanding, Valerie. I would have to say that you certainly have demonstrated how outreach can be expanded to serve our ever-changing and greater community needs. So outstanding. And I just wanted to do a little quick PSA here in the middle. We do more than webinars at Web Junction. As you can see from some of the links we're sharing, we are eager to share resources to facilitate your sharing of resources throughout the library community. Our mission is to bridge the barriers to learning by providing open, affordable online learning communities, and we consider all of this learning that we're doing together today. And you all take advantage of the courses, the events, share your knowledge, and network with others, all in a community of collaboration. So truly, you, Valerie, are demonstrating how that happens on Web Junction. So let's go ahead now and shift gears and have Laura take over to talk about their outstanding work at the San Francisco Public Library.
Thanks, Jennifer. Let's see.
And I'll make sure that folks can hear you. It sounds like you might be a little bit softer than Valerie, so just make sure you're close into your phone. Thank you.
All right. So, this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about our program here at the San Francisco Public Library Mission Branch. Our bilingual Toddler Tales program is probably the most popular program that we offer here. It's very well attended and supported by the community. Our program is based on the Mother Goose format and has a lot of components of Every Child Ready to Read. It incorporates a lot of music and movement and child and caregiver interaction. There was an article, I believe, posted on Web Junction that sort of captured some of the highlights of our program, and that should be available through some of the resources that Jennifer is posting. So our normal attendance for this program is about 300 people every Thursday morning. We have two programs back to back, the same program, usually with about 150, 160 at each program. This program is especially popular, and our patrons are constantly asking us for more. But because we have so much other programming going on throughout the week, it's very difficult for us to add another program for this specific age group. So what we decided to do as we started brainstorming different ideas for possible programs for this age group, we thought about doing something to kind of tie into this program. And what we thought of doing were creating different activity stations that would help promote early literacy skills. So what we did was we developed a program called Ready, Set, Read. And what we do at this program is we set up different activities, hands-on activities around the room that encourage one of the related six early literacy skills. And parents and caregivers are encouraged to do these activities together at their own pace. We have a handout that we distribute at the beginning. When people walk in, we greet them. We tell them that this is something new that we're trying out and that we definitely want their feedback about how it goes. The handout that we provide is always bilingual, English and Spanish. We also at each activity station have something that kind of describes what the activity is and what literacy skill it helps to promote. And these are really simple things that parents can do at home with their kids. We always want to make sure that that parents don't have to go out and buy something to do these activities at home, that these are simple things that they can replicate at home to do with their child. And usually the program runs for about an hour and a half, and people tend to come and go. And it's a really easygoing environment. We try to make it as welcoming as possible and really encourage parents to take their time with these activities and just have fun with their kids as they're learning. So these next couple of slides are going to show you what some of the activity stations are all about. So the first slide here are music instruments. So we set out lots of bells and shakers, and we put out a boombox, and we really encourage the parents and the caregivers to participate in these activities with their kids, to sing along with them, to move their bodies to the rhythm of the music. And it's one of the most popular stations. The next slide is going to show you a picture of a little girl who's having fun doing this activity station with her dad. So it's probably one of the most popular stations. Another popular station is the craft station. And here at the craft station, we just kind of put out material for the kids to explore with. They're not going to end up with a fancy craft that, you know, an older child could do, but it's a lot of experimenting with markers and glue and bingo daughters. Just to, for a lot of kids, it's their first experience with these materials. So it's more about exploring these materials. And this specific activity is a way to help parents encourage their kids' narrative skills. As they're working with these different things, we encourage parents to ask lots of questions and to ask them what they see and what they're doing, and really get their kids talking as they're doing these activities. So the next slide is just going to show you some families here at the craft table doing their art projects. And yes, after the activity, it does require a lot of cleanup, especially with little ones who kind of go crazy with this table. But it's really fun, and it's a good place for the kids to do this type of activity, because at home parents might be a little bit hesitant about doing this because there's so much cleanup involved. But here everything is set up and they can just do what they want. This next slide shows a board book baskets and our drop box. And this is probably also one of the most popular stations. And this station is just to set up to help motivate kids to see and play with books and to enjoy time with their caregiver or parent at the rug with books. And of course, we have lots of board books in Spanish. That children can play with. The next station is our puzzles and games station. And this is where kids can interact with their caregiver or parent doing these activities. We really encourage parents to talk to their children as they're playing with these things as a way to develop their vocabulary, naming the different objects in the puzzles, or as they are playing with these different puzzle pieces, making the animal sound that is related to the puzzle, that type of thing. So here's another photograph of a little girl and her mom at an activity station playing puzzles and games. And of course, one of the things that we always promote is for parents to speak in their native language, to share with their kids their native language and to name these things in their native language. The next slide shows kids playing with letters on our magnetic wall. This is one of the stations that helps to promote letter awareness. And as the kids are playing with these magnetic letters, they're also learning the sounds and the shapes and the different names of the letters, and in both languages. So we've had nothing but really good comments about this this program that we've implemented as part of our Toddler Tales program. Patrons are really excited about using the library in a different way than they normally do. They're so used to coming to the library to see the librarian perform for them, but when they come to this new program, they're experiencing the room in a totally different way. They're interacting with the collection. They're interacting with their children. And at the same time, they're learning, they're having fun, and the kids are just having a good time. And everyone is such an easygoing environment where everyone is talking in both languages, interacting in both languages with their caregivers. And it's something that we definitely want to continue. We are constantly asked whether we can continue this program more regularly. With the staffing level here and with because of the other regular programs that we have, it is a little difficult to have this as an ongoing regular program. But it's something we definitely want to look into because it does promote and it does help to stay in line with our early literacy initiatives that we have here set in place for us to follow. So let me just give you some, I see a lot of questions about where all this great stuff came from, all this material that we have here at the San Francisco Public Library. Because our library system is very well supported, and specifically the Children and Youth Services Department is very supportive of this Every Child to Read initiative that we have going. So a lot of the material was purchased as a way for us to promote this initiative. So the Bergeon toys, the book drop and the magnetic letters and the puzzles and all the lakeshore toys, those are all purchased with this money for us to support this initiative at our branches. Also, all the craft material, that's all provided centrally from our youth services department. Each branch is also provided with a CD player. And then we have an Ellison machine where we, each branch has a miniature Ellison machine where we can do these cutouts at our branches. So this makes this type of programming so much easier, because you don't have to run around and put things together. It's just already there. And just a few things to think about before you try implementing something like this. It's really important always to have approval from your supervisors, or not even approval, but just letting them know that you're thinking about doing this and this is how this program would align with some of the goals that you have. Also letting your other staff members know that there's going to be a change in your regular story time, and that you will, they perhaps might see more circulation at the front desk, or that there might be some concern from patrons wondering what happened to our regular story time program, what's going on. So just a lot of communications within the branch so that everyone knows that this is going on. It does require a lot of prep time. You have to think about how you're going to lay out the room, especially for us here, because we don't have a separate meeting space. Other branches that do have separate meeting spaces, it probably makes it an activity like this a little bit much easier to do. But because we don't have one, we have to move furniture around, think about how we're going to lay out the room to make good use of the space. And then lots of cleanup. Lots of cleanup after the program ends, which is not bad, because as you see what's going on and taking place during the program, I think it's all well worth it, because caregivers are interacting with their children, and it's just a good experience for them to use the library in a different way than they normally do. We see that a lot of people who come to our regular story time don't come here unless we're having a program. So this is really a way to bring in people to experience the library in a different way than they normally do. And that's pretty much it.
All right, Laura, outstanding. Really, really exciting. I don't know if you saw some of the comments. People were so excited and couldn't believe that you had accomplished such an amazing feat. So there were lots and lots of questions for both of you. I'm going to actually start out to talk and address both of you in terms of how you staff these events. How many staff members are there? How many helpers, or are they volunteers? I know that for Valerie, there were questions about whether or not your bilingual storytellers were paid or volunteered. Also bundled in that is what sort of training the staff receives. Do they go through early literacy training? Someone talked a little bit about Montessori. I think maybe more for Laura, there was a question if these folks needed to speak Spanish. And then kind of more logistically for Laura, how many people was there a helper at each table? And how many folks did you need? So let's start kind of with that set of questions, and let's hear from Laura first.
Normally we have two children's librarians on staff who are there to assist. We don't have any volunteers. We don't have any other support staff in the room while this is going on. It's pretty much two librarians who are doing the program. You would think that it would be very chaotic because there's so many people, but But it works so well because the caregivers are doing the activity with the child, so it's not that hard to manage. The crowd is not that hard to manage. It's pretty much self-guided. The caregiver and the parent is doing the activity with the child. So it's not as bad as you would think. And all the librarians, we're really, really fortunate here at San Francisco Public Library to be offered lots of trainings. All our children's librarians have had the early literacy training with Saroj Goting. We also have an early literacy specialist who works very closely with the children's librarians in helping us develop our goals for the year in terms of aligning them with the Every Child Ready to Read program. So there's just a lot of resources here for children's librarians to be up to speed with all the early literacy components and being able to implement those early literacy initiatives. There's a lot of support.
That's great. That's really helpful. Valerie, do you want to add a little bit more to talk about your both staff and any of your volunteers or paid helpers?
Sure. Well, our storytellers are paid. At the Seattle Public Library, we can't have volunteer storytellers. It's part of our agreement with the union. And we did have people come in and ask to volunteer, but we don't do that. So we pay them, and then part of the expectation is that they are developing their own story times. After that initial kit that we developed, we asked them to sort of take it and run with it, and they really have done an amazing job.
Can you talk a little bit too? I realize that folks, there have been a number of questions about how you screen those folks. Do you do background checks? Then
we do background checks, and we asked for references, and we asked for resumes, and then we sort of did interviews, and yes, so watching
okay, excellent.
Background checks.
Excellent.
And we don't have staff in the room at all times. Staff will come in the beginning and drop in at the end, but it's generally just the storyteller, and we don't have volunteers either. As part of their training, they did get early literacy training. We talked about storytelling in general, dealing with unexpected situations and disruptions. They occasionally will ask them to talk about things like summer reading program or some other initiative. They do some crafts with the students or with the attendees and help people to learn about what the materials are at the library. So they're really very, very involved and very much playing the role that we would want a children's librarian to do, but they're able to do it in another language. There were some other questions. Let's see.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to bundle another set. There are a lot of questions about, and I think this is going to vary for both of your programs, but a lot of questions about, you know, what makes it bilingual? Do you focus the stories, you know, do you do English as well as stories in the language that your storytellers are presenting in? Also, I think related to that are the what amount, especially maybe for Laura, what amount of the session is story time versus the activity stations? A little bit more on both of those angles. And why don't we start this time with Valerie?
Okay. The fact that this is called bilingual story time is sort of a misnomer in our case because we really are concentrating on doing non-English story times with some flexibility depending on who's in the audience and how comfortable the storytellers are. Some have asked us, have said, I really want to do bilingual, and then we say, okay. But but ours are concentrating on serving a community in their native language. Okay, I think that answered the question for me.
Okay, Laura, let's hear from you.
Okay, so our actual story time is totally bilingual, English, Spanish, lots of rhymes and finger plays and books in both languages. But this specific program that is a tie-in to our story time that is done totally on a separate day is bilingual in the sense that all of our caregivers and parents are predominantly Spanish-speaking. So the librarian is interacting with them and their children pretty much in Spanish. That is why all the material that we have, when the handouts and the guides around the room, they're all in English and Spanish. And when we talk to our caregivers, we tell them in their native language, this is the literacy skill that this station helps to promote. And this is some of the things that you can do at home with your child in order to help prepare them for school. So it is bilingual. And the Spanish-speaking librarian has to be totally fluent in the language in order to communicate these ideas to them.
Okay. So, Laura, there was a question about whether your activities are different each week, so it looked like maybe you were focusing on the same skills, but maybe the activities varied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The skills are always going to be the same, but the activities are going to be a little bit different depending on what we decide to bring out that day for that activity.
I'd be curious too, there were some questions about how you deal with sort of inconsistent interactions from different parents and caregivers. I mean, it seems like the folks that are there have chosen to be there. I guess they maybe could have been asked to take the kids if they're caregivers. But I actually put kind of community building in the title for this webinar because I think what you're doing really is community building. So can you give us maybe some examples of how you've seen the community sort of model the sorts of early literacy behavior and maybe how that knowledge is being shared amongst them rather than relying on you to facilitate that interaction? I'm sort of putting words in your mouth, but I'd love to hear about that.
Well, I know here that there's a very tight-knit group of caregivers who really help sell the program to other caregivers. So they work sort of as outreach people for us because they say, oh, the Mission Branch has such a great program in English and Spanish. Why don't you go check it out? It's on this morning, and we'll meet there, and then we'll have lunch. And then a lot of the caregivers enjoy sharing, you know, traditional rhymes and songs with us that are native to their countries. And I don't know if I'm answering the question, but
no, that's really great. It sounds, I mean, that's sort of what I imagined, that the community kind of is building up on its own. There's lots and lots of stuff going on in chat, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing that because I think some of you are answering each other's questions. And this, again, the archive will be available with the chat. And I generally go through and pull out some of the either the questions or some of the really strong points that you're bringing to it. So, again, it's sort of like this organic process that the chat takes over. I did want to make sure we asked you, there were questions about days and times that you have found that work best. I know that that's a real challenge for schedules for both sets of your projects. So give us a sense of how that works. And sort of related to that, I'd really like to hear how you are marketing and doing outreach outside of the library to be sure that word is getting out. Although, Laura, it doesn't sound like you need too many more people, otherwise you'll need to expand your library, but that's not a bad thing. So give us a sense of how you do outreach and marketing for these programs. Let's go ahead and start with Valerie, days and times and outreach and marketing.
Well, days and times is largely determined at the branch level. We try to have something in the evening or and something on the weekend available, but there's that can be a challenge depending on the branch and their ability to staff that. In the evenings, our meeting rooms often are full. On the weekends, we have fewer people. So we try to stick to evenings and weekends, as well as some daytime, but sometimes it's less varied than I'd like it to be, than any of us would like it to be. For outreach, we work with the local newspapers, and they will get a reduced rate on an ad. We don't get a lot of free ads every once in a while, but a reduced rate on an ad, and then they seem very happy to attend the story time and do some coverage of it, do an interview with the storyteller. We have a local radio personality and our local Univision announcer who's a big supporter of our library, and so he'll talk it up. Let's see. I send out flyers to a large list of community organizations and community partners. And I think I mentioned I work with the bilingual instructional assistants in our public schools. So then it's a lot of people who are coming into the library learn about it through our posters and flyers. And our staff play things out up quite a bit. And the storytellers that we hire, they're invested in making sure that this is a success, so they also let people know.
Excellent. How about you, Laura?
Well, because we also have a lot of other programming for different ages, we have to limit this to once a week. We do baby story times and preschool story times, and then we also have to have a morning free for our school-age children. So that's the way it works here. We have to have two programs back-to-back on the same morning. In terms of outreach, we work with a lot of parenting groups here in the Mission District. We attend their parent meetings and let parents know about what we have here to offer them. We also work closely with Head Start programs and early Head Start programs, and we also attend their parent meetings and let them know what's going on here in our branch for programs for their specific age groups. We also work very closely with caregiver networks, which work closely with caregivers, and we offer them different resources for their members. We let them know when we are having activities. We promote our different story times through these caregiver networks as well. Those are some of the ways that we reach out to this community.
Excellent. That's really great. I'm really excited to see all of the additional discussion going on. And I just want to remind folks that if you're new to Web Junction, you may not be aware of the Spanish Language Outreach Project, a three-year project that we did and capped off with some research done that demonstrates a Latino Perceptions Report of Libraries that demonstrates that one of the predeterminants of people feeling comfortable in the library isn't their ability to speak, it's the service that they get, their ability to speak Spanish or the materials even in the library, but many of them feel comfortable in the library just based on the service they get. So I think it was interesting to see the conversation about whether or not bilingual story times needed to have fluent speakers. So I'd love to see that conversation continue, and I will try to make sure and point out some of the specific resources. I know that there are three other webinars linked on the archive page that point to the bilingual child in the library. Valerie actually did a webinar last fall on refugees. And I want to just do a little plug for our next, the Spanish Language Outreach Project is partly hosting this session. And in September, we're going to be talking to Juan Lee. Juan is actually on the call, and he's going to be talking about how he's expanded his services using some of the same models for Spanish language outreach with his Native American communities in Utah. So we're also going to, we're going to try to find some other folks to talk about how they've adapted their outreach efforts to our ever-expanding community. So I wanted to be sure you know that I will indeed follow up with you with resources that relate to this session, but also there are a number of areas on the site where you would be interested in exploring: the children's area, all of the resources for Spanish language outreach, and the immigrants and world languages area as well. You can follow all of our activities and upcoming events on both our Blog Junction blog, as well as our monthly newsletter, and also our events calendar. And again, just a reminder for those of you who are managing your staff training efforts, we do have a lot of resources available for you and your organization, and we do a specific presentation talking about some of those resources that are available on our next first Wednesday session in September. And we do want to hear from you and tell us about your experience in this session. So I'm going to be pushing out a survey that will open in a separate window, either at the front of your screen or in your taskbar. It's a really quick survey, but it provides both the presenters and Web Junction with information about what kind of other webinars you'd like to see, some of your other needs as well. So this is a great way for us to hear from you. If you do have experiences and expertise that you would like to share, please contact us and let us know, and we will work with you either for webinar information. If you have resources, templates much like those that were shared by Laura and Valerie today, we'd be happy to work with you to get that information out and shared with all of this great community. So I wanted to just finish up and thank Valerie and Laura for their excellent work and their presentation of that excellent work. So let's give them a big, fat, virtual round of applause. Go under your little smiley face emoticon on the bottom, and you can click on the clapping hands, or you can click on the high five, too. That's the hand raise, but it works really well as well. So again, thank you both very much for being here. Do you have any last words of wisdom to top off all the great wisdom you've shared with us?
No words of wisdom, but thank you, everyone, and be in touch if you have questions that we didn't get to, good luck.
Yes, thank you very, very much. If anybody wants to contact me, I'm hoping that Jennifer will post my contact. I'm happy to speak with anyone who is thinking about starting something like this for Spanish-speaking patrons. I would be happy to talk to you and chat about our successes here.
Excellent. I did post there, for those of you who are new to Web Junction, everyone that becomes a member, which is free, membership is free, they have a profile. So I've shared those profiles, and if you friend Laura and Valerie, their emails will be available there. Otherwise, yes, please let us know if you wanted to contact them. And again, thank you all for coming, and we'll see you next time. The next events are listed in the calendar. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.